it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Yes, sir. Brought to you by Geico. You know, saving you money on car insurance has been right there in Geico's wheelhouse now for over 75 years. So after the game, get a quote at geico.com. Geico, it's so easy a caveman can do it. And tonight, the ball game in a rain delay. In fact, they're covering the field even as we speak. There's some weather on the way. Could be here a while. So tonight's game will be rain delayed. When we do play, it'll be the Orioles against Tampa Bay, game two of a three-game series. Orioles are trying to get back in the win column here this afternoon. And last night, twice they were within a strike of winning that game, and they wound up losing it in 10 innings. Buck Showalter and the manager's report right after this.
Rock Abatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Today's manager's report. Buck, I know all losses are tough to a certain degree, but how tough is last night's when, you know, you're a strike away, and obviously if you close it out above 500, third place, and then just a series of incidents like that to turn the game around?
It hurts, Rock, but you move on. You've got to learn this business. I mean, you got to get up the next day. You got to grind through it, and it hurts. It hurts the fans, but we've won some games from other teams and made them feel that pain. And, you know, it can happen. It's a very volatile situation with this type of talent on both sides that things can get away from you real quick. And, but you got to tip your hat to them. They did the job of putting some bats together. Their shortstop that they went out and acquired for a couple of good minor league players has really made a difference for him last night. He's impressive.
What did you see with the balk call, which obviously put a runner in scoring position?
It's a balk. I mean, by the letter of law, the rule forces umpires to call things that really don't matter. And I call it, in basketball, you call it over-officiating, but it's a rule in baseball that, you know, to me, it's something that should have been changed years ago where, you know, if you're trying to illegally left-hander step too close to home plate to throw to first, that should be a balk. Right-hander with a bent knee, dodger move to first, that's a balk. But when a guy's just sitting there and he starts up and stops, what advantage or disadvantage is he making? That didn't beat us, okay? That didn't beat us. So, you know, I'm not going to dwell on that a lot. But, you know, I actually have been talking about it for a couple of years to the Rules Committee about why do we have this in there where a guy is looking for a sign and drops a ball and it's a balk. What advantage or disadvantage is he gaining? I mean, it's just really insane when you stop and think about it.
One of the positives last night, Miguel Castro, bases loaded, no outs, gets out of the jam. I don't think he's given up a hit in 8 at-bats with the bases loaded. Are you learning something about him, being able to put him in that situation?
Well, I didn't want to put him in it, and I was hoping Chris could get through that 6. Chris pitched pretty well yesterday, but the one thing I do like about him, and it's something analytics and all the other stuff will never show, he's got a good look in his face. This guy's not scared. He's a watcher. He watches the game from the bullpen. When he's out of the game and in the dugout, he watches every pitch. He likes to talk the game. You talk to him, he looks you in the eyes. I mean, this is a kid that wants it. He's really he wants to be, you look at him, he's a tall, thin, slender guy with a whipping arm. You're thinking this is just another. You know, you can get into stereotype mode very quickly, but there's a lot more there to this kid. He ain't scared.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Jake Odorizzi on the mound today for the Rays. Is this where his career reverse splits come into play again when you're planning out your lineup?
Well, Rock, to some extent, but we don't have but two left-hand hitters. You know, I mean, it's not like we can put a bunch of left-hand hitters out there, you know, and until we get Chris and some of those guys back, Ryan Flaherty, there's not many options. So, really, I want Seth been playing a lot. Give him a day. You know, this guy's a reverse split. And I give Gentry a start. It worked out well last time. And just a little bit of that. But our lineup right now and our roster just doesn't have many left-hand hitters on it.
You're starting a stretch of 4 straight day games. Is there a challenge there? I assume it's altering body clocks of everybody to have to make that switch.
Rock, you know it too. You live it with us, and that's the thing. When you take players out of routine, you know, if you look, sometimes teams play their best baseball and they play like 4, 5, 7 o'clock games in a row where they get on some type of routine. You got 1:30, 4 o'clock. I mean, you got 4 o'clock, 1:30, back to a time change in Milwaukee. It's tough, and if you're not disciplined with your sleep and everything, it'll catch up with you.
The daily Zach Burton question, pitched again last night, Frederick back-to-back. How's he doing today?
Good. Said he felt better last night, and he has. That's a good sign. And he's got one more in him on Norfolk on Monday, and he'll join us on Wednesday if that goes well.
Finally, Dylan Bundy pitching today for the Orioles. How pleased are you with what he's given you? Because I know there were some questions. This is the first time he went into camp as a starter. the full load and what he's been able to do for you with an amount of quality starts getting deeper into games?
Well, I've talked to him a little bit. Actually, it's easier on him doing this and pitching once every 5 days and knowing when you're pitching and knowing whether you should have a hard work day or a light one or not even take it. You know, he's pitching on at least 2 days rest. He's going to pitch on about 11 days rest after the break. I mean, we're going to make sure we monitor it, but I'm kind of curious to see how he responds to the longest rest he's had all year coming into today's start.
Thank you, Buck. Let's take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
In a rain delay tonight, there's some bad weather coming, and we're guessing at least an hour rain delay. Just a guess, an educated guess. So stand by for more. So what's going on in the Orioles minor league system? Well, we're going to find out with Jim Hunter when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
At Camden Yards, the tarp is on the field. Rain is on the way. We will have a delay, middle game of three against Tampa Bay. Well, several of the Orioles' top minor league prospects are at Bowie. Gary Kendall up next on the Orioles Radio Network. Well, there's a lot of excitement in the Orioles minor leagues, in particular at AA Bowie, and we're joined by the Bay Sox manager, Gary Kendall. And Gary, you have, as I counted, six legitimate prospects. So why don't we go down the list so the fans can get an update on how these prospects are progressing. And I got to start with Austin Hayes, because you've only had him for 8 games, and he's currently on a 16-game hitting streak going back to Frederick. Tell us about Austin Hayes. He's in his second year, and he's dominating in AA already.
Yeah, Austin brings a whole lot of life to your ball club. In your lineup, he's an integral part. He hits in the middle of the order. He barrels up a lot of fastballs, and you know, he's played right and center primarily for us. He can play some center field. He throws. He can defend. He runs the base as well. He's certainly not a wallflower. I mean, this guy really comes to play every night when he's in your lineup. And so far, it's been, you know, everything is come as what Keith Bodie had told me that we were going to see. I saw Austin a little bit in spring training, but this guy brings a lot to the table offensively and defensively.
Now, obviously, if you have a 16-game hitting streak, you're a pretty good contact hitter. Does he have an idea of the strike zone already, and as a result, is he selective?
You know what? You know, I mean, certainly it's a small sample size that I've seen, and he has a real aggressive barrel in the strike zone. I mean, he goes after some fastballs. I mean, they'll challenge him some fastballs up in the strike zone, and sometimes he gets under them. But I think as time goes on, I think this guy's going to develop a real good strike zone awareness. Right now, it's fine. He's not striking out. It's, you know, once in a while, a good breaking ball or a good heater will get him. But all in all, you know, this guy, you know, puts the barrel in the ball a lot. And he's not just one-dimensional. He's not just pull-oriented. He's gotten some opposite way hits for us, and you know, he showed some power. I mean, he's just been really good so far.
Now, we saw Cedric Mullins quite a bit in spring training, and he got off to a great start for you, skipping Frederick, by the way. He went from Delmarva to Bowie, then he hurt the hamstring, now he's back. How his progress, how's that coming along after the setback?
You know what, he's coming along really well. You know, it took him a while to just to kind of get up to the game pitching once he got back in our lineup. And he's a guy that can beat you so many ways offensively, by a bunt, a double, a home run. He gets a lot of extra base hits. He runs the bases very well. He certainly has been, you know, profiling for us as a top-of-the-order type of hitter. He knows the strike zone. He's a switch hitter. He puts the ball in play, and he's played center and left for us primarily, and he runs the ball down in the alley. He hits the cutoff man. He's doing a lot of things to make us a successful ball club.
Now, we also saw Tanner Scott in spring training, and he jumps out because he can hit 100 with his fastball. And a very unique approach with him this year, 3-inning starts. He's made 15 starts, so 45 innings. Tell us the concept behind that and how you feel that's helping him, because when you look at his ERA, something's going right. He's at 1.4.
Yeah, it was a great decision by the Orioles organization to do that with Tanner, because, you know, I think he threw 16 innings here in AA last year, and they were all out of the bullpen. And, you know, sometimes he'd come in and inherited situations, and it gives him clean innings. It gives him days in between his outings with Kenny Steenstra and John Wasdin or Ramon Martinez, whoever happens to be in, but mainly Kenny. And, you know, to repeat his delivery in that bullpen and the development of his pitches, it forces him to use that slider more in his outings. And now he's starting to throw a changeup, which is going to be part of his mix. And so far, you know, I mean, he's a guy, the ball jumps out of his hand. He's been overpowering at times. He's got fastball life. He's just been solid for us. I mean, and, you know, I think the biggest difference that I saw last year to this year has been his maturity and how he's been able to turn innings around. You know, last year, three ball counts and then, you know, some walks, and then it would kind of build on a bad inning. And he's been able to redirect those innings and be able to recover after a walk and get a double play and a strikeout to kind of self-fix those innings.
All right, tell me about Lucas Long, because when you see a 2.01 ERA from a starter, that jumps out. I understand he's a sinker baller, and at the age of 24, is he finally starting to figure out who he is and what works?
Yeah, this is the first time I've really been around Luke for a while, and Kenny's had him in the past, and he is a sinker baller. He's a ground ball pitcher. And, you know, at Bowie's field, Bowie's got a fast infield, so it isn't always a great thing to be a sinker ball pitcher in our field, because if it's not at an infielder, it's hard to make a play sometimes. And this guy gets a lot of ground balls. He's a strike thrower. He's got a little cutter. He's got a curveball that he throws over for a strike and a good changeup. He's got weapons against a left-handed hitter. He just does a nice job for us. He throws a lot of strikes, but it's at the bottom of the strike zone. He induces a lot of early contact, and that's why his ERA and his numbers have been so good, because he gets his fair share of strikeouts, but he's a guy that pitches to contact.
You think he might get up here this year to the big leagues, or is he still maybe a year away?
You know, that's entirely up to what the organization feels. I mean, we feel that he's got certain ingredients that can help a major league club right now, and the reports that Kenny and I had sent in at our midseason reports, we feel that he can come up and help a major league club, but that's not our decision. But this guy is a strike thrower, and he can use him in various roles. I mean, he could be a swingman type guy, bullpen value. He's got starting value because he can get the ball over, and he's got four pitches.
And from Camden Yards, stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards in the loss column. Again, tonight, Tampa Bay has won the first two in this three-game series. And in this one, Dylan Bundy, just to give you an idea, 31 pitches in the first inning. And that was just a sign of things to come. But before that happened, we had a rain delay at Camden Yards of an hour and 12 minutes. So this game was not worth the wait. Let's just put it that way. Tampa Bay wins it by a score of 10-3. Same two teams again tomorrow afternoon. The Orioles are trying to salvage the finale before hitting the road once again. Bundy began the game by giving up a single to Smith in the first inning. Then with one out, Longoria came up to hit. On a hit and run, Smith, well, he took three bases while Longoria got just one. There he goes. There's a pitch. Ground ball, right side. Perfect execution. Smith goes to third. He's being waved in. Here's the throw from Jones. On a bounce, it is too late. And he scores. He was running on a hit and run. And Longoria executed perfectly, hit the ball towards second base, where Jonathan Scope had vacated to go over and cover second base on the hit and run. So the single drives in a run from first base. And it's a 1-0 Tampa Bay lead. Yeah, Longoria picked up his 48th RBI. And then just moments after that, 1-1 to Morrison, and Bundy again delivers. Morrison sends the fly ball out toward deep center. Adam Jones racing back, blowing a bubble as he watches it get out of here. Morrison with a two-run home run. Number 23 for him to equal his career high in a single season. And the Tampa Bay Rays have jumped out to a 3-0 lead. Yeah, so bases empty after that. Sousa doubled. But then Bundy kind of settled in. He ended that first inning with a couple of strikeouts. And then it came back in the second inning, and he struck out the side. Next pitch, fastball, swing, and a miss. Struck him out. How about Bundy now, huh? Five consecutive strikeouts for Bundy since giving up three runs back in the first inning. And here the second, he strikes out the side. There you go. So then bottom of the second, 3-0 game at the point. One out, bases empty. Trumbull got a walk. The two outs, Castillo, an infield single. And then Gentry came up to hit. Gentry, ground ball, up the middle, into left center. That's a base hit. Trumbo coming in. Castillo goes to third. The ball back into second base. So Gentry gets it done with two outs. And a ball that got through the infield, and it's a 3-1 game. But then in the third, Bundy got the first two outs on pop-ups. So there were two outs and the bases empty. At that point, Bundy had retired seven in a row. But then Logan Morrison came up again.
And the Bundy pitch is swung on and drilled to deep right field. That ball is going to go, and that's going to land on Utah Street. There's a home run for Morrison, his second of the game, and the Tampa Bay lead is now 4-1. Oh, did he crush that?
Yeah, Morrison, a career best now, 24 home runs. And they played just, 82 games in the regular season. And then Souza came up after that.
And Bundy deals, swinging a high fly ball center field. That ball has carry. Back on it, Adam Jones, and that ball's going to go. That's into the second bullpen, the Tampa Bay bullpen. So Steven Souza with a home run. That is the third home run in the game, and it's now 5-1 Tampa Bay.
There you go. Bundy would eventually go four innings, gave up five runs on seven hits, including three home runs. He threw 99 pitches in only four innings of work. But eventually, Asher came on to pitch in the fifth inning. One out, Longoria a single, and then Morrison got a base on balls. And eventually, when Ramos came up to hit, there were two Rays on base. And Asher with the 0-1 delivery. Fly ball, left center. Oh, my goodness. This one is in the visiting bullpen. Ramos launches one. Well, he homered last night. And now he's hit a three-run homer late on a Saturday afternoon. It is now 8-1 Tampa Bay. Well, there was some good news in the bottom of the fifth inning with two outs and the bases empty. The Orioles really only all-star so far this half. Well, he came up to hit. 3-2, here it comes. Scope, fly ball into center. This ball is traveling. This ball is way back there. Bye-bye. Jonathan Scope, a two-run home run. He hit it to dead center. Well, he's got 16 now. That's a two-run homer. It is now 8-3. Hey, it's a start. Yeah, start, but that's where it ended, basically. Jake Odorizzi, five innings. He threw 111 pitches in five innings. But he wins it. The Rays bullpen, they chip in with four scoreless innings. And the game ended today on a two-for-one deal. Rickard digs in. Here comes the 1-0 pitch. Ground ball to second base, could be two. Second gets one. And the relay by Echevarria gets a double play. And that's how the game ends. Orioles here tonight in the loss column. Had a long rain delay before the game even started. And then the ball game itself took an eternity. Of course, when you lose 10-3, it seems like forever. And Tampa Bay has taken the first two in the three-game series. Same two teams on Sunday afternoon, and we're hoping for better news. Jim Hunter, in a moment, on the Orioles Radio Network.
Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
What have you seen with Dylan?
I thought he was going to get on the horse there in that second. After the second inning, he came out and pitched well, but he elevated some ball. They didn't use the elevate. Probably a little strong, early on, and looked like he was going to be able to corral it. But they're doing a lot of things right now.
I mean, as far as fatigue is concerned, you guys gave him two extra days. Mm-hmm. Like you said, he kind of came out strong, but obviously his numbers haven't been good last three of the last four starts. Is there anything to the innings increase, or is it just one of those things?
I don't know. There's always reason things happen, that could always play a part in it, but he's pitched more innings than this in his career, so I'm going to give Tampa the credit. They're doing a lot of things right. They're clicking. So I know Dylan, he usually rights the ship, but he had a couple of touch and feels in between, but that was the only thing I had concern with. He might be a little too strong, and I think that might have been the case. I don't know, he'd probably have a better feel for it than I did.
A couple balls that dropped that were singles got played into doubles, or at
Which
least
one?
It looked like that.
One
in the gap in right center, one in the gap in left center, where they stretched singles into doubles. Did you see anything on that or not?
They hit them in areas where their foot speed allows them to stretch it into it. I'd have to look exactly the ones you're talking about. There were a lot of balls hit around the outfield today. But, that's a good defensive outfield we have. But a lot of it, the first run they scored was just a foot speed running on the pitch, hit it where, we weren't playing, and that's a ball that usually, second baseman catches, so you don't see that ball there. I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but, it's more about their foot speed and them being able to push the envelope.
Buck, you were able to squeeze Odorizzi for like 80 pitches in three innings, but you couldn't square anything out.
I felt like if we could have got, when Ash came in, if we could have got some, got a couple of zeros up there because it didn't look like he was going to be able to sustain it over a long period. He was close. You know, he had good stuff. You know, he does a great job pitching slightly up in the zone. And he carried a really good split day, which he didn't have in his last outing. And that bodes well for their team if he's able to carry that. But we didn't do a whole lot off of him. But we had a shot at him if we could have just, you know, kept him at five.
Caleb's been taking some ground balls at third. Are you just trying to present another option with him?
Well, it's our only option, really. You know, I know people seem to talk a lot about, you know, I think we get an idea of what Ryan Flaherty brings to the club. We talk about, you know, we get asked about some of the people missing, but I think a lot of people miss because I'd love to give Manny a day, but it's really tough with the way our, you know, we're constructed right now with the injuries. But Caleb's very capable. He's got a history and a past of it. Way back.
The postgame comments of Buck Showalter as the Rays win it by the final of 10-3.